Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another edifying episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with John Sparks from the Theater Building Chicago. He will be talking to Tom Williams about the new plays that are showing at the Theater Building Chicago. Also, Tom Williams brings us an audio review. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back, relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of August 7th, 2006. Stephen Sondheim will be participating in a pre-concert discussion at Ravinia's Gypsy Concert. That's right, the award-winning composer will be joining Ravinia Festival President for a pre-concert discussion before the August 11th staging of the musical classic, Gypsy. The pre-concert discussion will be held in Ravinia's Martin Theater and will also be broadcast to the audiences on the lawn. The discussion is scheduled to begin at 6:45, with the evening's presentation commencing at 8 p.m. Now remember, Gypsy will be running at Ravinia from August 11th through August 13th and will star Olivier Award winner Patti LuPone as Mama Rose. Free tickets to the discussion will be available on a first-come, first-served basis to those attending that evening's performance of Gypsy, so you better call to see if some tickets are left, because if it isn't sold out yet, it will be soon. Talk Theater in Chicago would like to congratulate Jennifer Bielstein, who is currently the executive director of the Writers Theater in Glencoe. Jennifer has been named as the new managing director of the Actors Theater of Louisville in Kentucky. Now, many of you may have heard of the Actors Theater because of their annual Humana Festival of New American Plays that not only publishes a new book of American plays, but also is a watershed moment for any playwright. Congratulations, Jennifer Bielstein. All college-bound high school students interested in pursuing an undergraduate or graduate study in theater can find out a lot of information by attending the National Association for College Admission Counseling's Chicago Performing and Visual Arts College Fair. The Chicago Performing and Visual Arts College Fair will be held on Tuesday, October 3rd at Northwestern University. It runs from 7 to 9 p.m. and admission is free and, of course, open to the public. And if you are a college-bound high school student, these fairs offer a unique opportunity to get the inside scoop on what it takes to get a degree in the arts. The National Association for College Admission Counseling is sponsoring a performing and visual arts fair in 16 cities throughout this country. Those range from New York, Philly, LA, DC, and of course, Chi-Town, baby. Well, thank you very much for listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here is my review of I Will Swallow the Rain. I Will Swallow the Rain, written and directed by Andrew Perez, produced by Red Jacket Theater at Profiles Theater. New Theater Troupe delivers an intense, absurdist work. I enjoy discovering new theater groups, and the group of young artists led by Northwestern University graduate Andrew Perez delivered a most energetic new work, I Will Swallow the Rain. Perez wrote and directed this wild, manic, surrealistic one act. I like this initial offering from this theater group. Andrew Perez is surely a talented playwright, not afraid to take chances as he pushes his story into dangerous territory utilizing absurdist techniques. This is a fascinating take where Willie, played with manic intensity by the talented newcomer Johnny Sanders, is celebrating his 21st birthday by drinking himself to death as he attempts to down 5 fifths of scotch. He is depressed with a saying goodbye, first to his departed mother, then to his father, who has taken up with a religious cult, and now with his loyal friend Jill, played by Sarah Kaufman. So he decides to die in a frenzied ritual of drinking. We know we are in a surreal world when a white and brown large rat, Chevron, played by Jonah Meadows, in a terrific costume by Caroline Forney, emerges from a little small room spouting limericks about mortal conflict with Spider-Man to come. We see Willie acting like a sloppy drunk, determined to destroy himself despite the best efforts of Jill to stop him. Johnny Sanders, Willie, eventually emerges as an empathetic person. We understand his pain. When Willie's old pal Peter, played by the hyper Alex Sell, comes by with an amazing birthday present to atone for his not taking Willie to see his sick mother, Willie goes from friendly to hostile in a series of wild scenes where the two men do much physical antics, jumping, hugging, pushing, wrestling, screaming at one another as they attempt to reconcile their friendship while downing shots of scotch. While when Peter announces he'll probably die soon, as he is indeed Superman, and must end his reign as the superhero, Willie thinks he's crazy. Is all this Willie's drunken imagination, or is it real? The writing and the wild physicality are compelling theater. I Shall Swallow the Rain, despite some rough edges, delivers an emotional collapse due to the loss of one's loved ones, as well as a recognition from father by each of the men effectively. The rat and the Spider-Man add spice to the absurdist bent of the show. I also like the consistent over-the-top antics from Alex Sell and Johnny Sanders. They jumped and jumped around the stage like kangaroos. Their extreme emotions definitely depict their pain. The excessive antics by these two may be hard for some to fathom, but in the context of the piece, it served well. Andrew Perez is a playwright with a new voice and an absurdist leaning that promises to offer plays with intensity. Red Jacket Theater has a worthy show full of deliciously physical action. Seeing the show will get many to swear off drinking. My rating on this show, recommended. It is at Profiles Theater, which is located at 4147 North Broadway in Chicago. The number to call for information is 312-493-9561. Tickets are $15. That's 312-493-9561. This is Tom Williams saying thank you for listening and go see a play this week. Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is John Sparks, who is the artistic director at the Theater Building Chicago, which is in progress today for the Stages Festival. Hello, John.
Good afternoon.
Tell us about the Stages Festival, what it's all about.
Oh, my goodness. Stages is a presentation of 8 new musicals in different stages of development. Some of them are having their first public performance in the Stages Festival. Others have had more process and are closer to a final production stage.
Okay, and how long have you been doing this? Give us the history of Stages.
This is the 13th annual Stages Festival. It's one of the oldest festivals of new musicals in the country.
Great. You're going to be congratulated. And give us an idea about how many shows you've done, you've presented.
Oh, my goodness. In the time that I've been associated with theater building, over 200 shows, and in the Stages Festival, I'd have to quickly do the math, but I think about 110 in Stages alone.
Excellent. And I remember seeing the Josephine Baker story that you did last year.
Yes.
That came out of this program, didn't it?
We first presented it in the Stages Festival a couple of years ago, and then it was on our main stage this past season. We did a full production, ran 6 weekends here. In the Stages Festival, it was a script and hand reading featured Lilias White in the role of Josephine Baker's mother. Here in our studio production last season, we had Monique Whittington in that role, and she won a Jeff.
Yes, she did. I remember. I was at the show. It was a terrific show.
Yeah, she's a fantastic performer. We're very fortunate to have her.
I remember last year attending Stages, and the Frog Prince was kind of the hot show. That, at least that's the one I thought was.
Frog Prince was very popular last year, and I'm happy to report that it received a couple of outings subsequent to that. It was seen just before Stages in the Cardiff International Festival of Musical Theater in their global search for new musicals. I went to Cardiff to see that in the UK. And then following the Stages Festival, it was seen in the Fringe at Edinburgh. And this year, it had another outing at the Theater League Festival of New Works, which is a new festival in Kansas City. And it was extremely well-received there. In fact, the authors just sent me links to the
yes,
reviews.
Yes, I did. I got those links, too. Yeah, that's exciting. It's got to be exciting when you see these shows start out and then end up in being successful.
Well, it is exciting because, of course, not all the shows go further. I mean, we're in the business here of developing new works of musical theater at the very earliest stages. We do the first readings, the first workshops, and we try to prepare the shows for other rehearsal processes so they can get into workshops and initial productions at other theaters. And not every show is going to travel the whole route. So the ones that do, of course, we're very excited by.
And a lot of people don't realize that musicals are almost never complete. I mean, they're
right.
So that's kind of normal in musicals, isn't it?
It's very normal. In fact, some musicals, even after they've had Broadway productions, the authors continue to tinker with them when there are major regional theater productions because something didn't quite work the way they wanted it to, and they'll get together and do some more work. It happens constantly.
So therefore, the whole developmental process, the creative process becomes important, particularly at the beginning, just to get to that point of where you can put it in front of an audience.
I think it's very important at the early stages to give the writers some freedom to work on the piece they want to write in a safe environment where they're not going to be reviewed by critics, where they're not going to subject themselves to all those realities. But then it's equally important to have those early audiences who can help the writer shape the show and make it commercially viable. That's one of the things I think that we're very successful with at Theater Building Chicago. Our audience knows that everything we do is in its earliest stages, and they come here in order to help the authors make it better. They come here to comment, to share their thoughts, and their expectations are in the right place. This is a developmental program.
And they know that. That's true. And so you end up at the festival, which is, let me just mention the dates, August 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Right.
On a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. You have 8 shows. You have 8 musicals.
That's right.
And each of them gets 2 productions.
That's right. 2 performances.
2 performances, right. Now, and these are stage readings with an orchestra, right? Or some kind of musical.
They're all musicals. Okay. Seven of them are script in hand. One of them is fully rehearsed. It's a studio presentation, which means the actors are blocked. It's a complete production, except we don't have costumes and scenery. There's a lighting plot. So it would be just like seeing a show in a very abstract setting.
So it's like a black box production.
Right, exactly.
Okay, let's go backward now, because you end up with 8 shows at a festival in each year.
Right.
So let's go back to the beginning process. How many you start out with, and how long does the process take before these eight plays, you know, get to an August production?
Well, we start every year asking for submissions in the summer. Right now, we've just prepared the application for Stages 2007.
I did see it on the website. It's on the theaterbuildingchicago.com.
www.theaterbuildingchicago.org, and theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. I call that the snooty way.
The snooty way, right. Okay. And that, and they have the I saw it on there, isn't it? So people can apply.
People who have a musical in their trunk or top drawer can download that form and submit it to our selection process for Stages 2007. Our deadline for the initial round of submissions is early October. We have a series of readers across the country. They're either artistic directors, executive directors, performers, and directors who work at theaters all over the United States who are members of the National Alliance for Musical Theater. So these are musical theater professionals.
Oh, from all over the country, not right. Just local, not just yourself and a small staff.
That's right.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
And each submission is in the first round is read by three different readers across the country, and they score them on about 17 different specific points of craft for music lyrics and book writing. And we take the top 30 submissions, and those are sent to a new set of readers in January to help us make the final selection for the final eight. The first submission is a synopsis of the show, a sample scene, and three songs from the score. The second round or final submissions of 30 are full scripts, full scores. And every year we usually start out with somewhere between 100, 150 submissions. Some years it's been more, some years it's been a little less. But we always narrow it down to 30 finalists before we choose the final eight.
Okay, now what happens after you make the final 30?
Well, when you make the final 30, we send those scripts again. Three readers read each of the submissions, and it's never the same reader. If you read round one submission for show A, you will not read that show in round two. So that means that a show that makes it all the way through has been read by six different artistic directors across the country. It's good exposure for those shows, even if they don't make it into the festival, because periodically I'll get an email from someone saying, hey, could I contact the authors of this show or that show that I read?
So you win just by the fact that you're submitting it. Right. You, in a way, you have a win.
Gives you exposure, right.
And they score them. At this point, they're not writing in the margin, making corrections.
They're making numerical scores, but they're also making two comments. First, what they think is the strength of the show, and second, what they think is its biggest challenge. So the authors get some feedback from the second round. They find out what the readers felt was lacking, if anything, in their submission.
Boy, that's valuable information at that point.
Well, I hope it's valuable. It's always hard to hear about the warts on your baby, you know.
Yeah, but better you know early than spend $10 million and have it be a big bomb.
Well, it's all opinion, and you know, sometimes the $10 million bombs are really wonderful shows that just didn't click with the critics and the audience, and sometimes the great successes are shows that everybody has scratching their head saying, why was that a big hit? Who knows?
Yeah, that's
true. If we knew for sure, everything would be a big hit.
That's true. All right, so now they're at the 30.
Right.
And so let's just keep rolling right down to the process.
Well, when the scores come in, we make the final selections. In addition to the readers across the country, I read all the submissions. So I read the initial submissions, and then I read all 30 of the finalists. So if, for instance, if there are shows that are competing for a slot and they're very similar, then the final decision is mine. I'm the one who decides, well, it's going to be this show instead of that show.
Okay.
I accept the responsibility.
It's
not the happiest.
You know, that's amazing that usually when I talk to people about in these situations, they usually end up saying it's a committee.
Well,
I give you credit. You'll say eventually you're the guy.
It is a committee up until the last instant,
yeah.
And then it's up to me. Somebody has to make the decision. If there are 12 wonderful shows and we only have 8 slots, somebody has to make the decision, and that's me.
All right.
And what can I tell you? We do have a developmental program here in addition to the Stages Festival, so oftentimes the show that we can't do in Stages, we can still put on our stage later in the season as one of our Monday night musicals.
Okay,
so
that's good.
We have a program, an ongoing program of developing new works also.
Okay, yeah, I'm aware of that. All right, so now they're down to, you finally agreed to the final 8.
Right.
So what happens then?
Now we communicate with the authors. The first thing that happens.
Oh, at what time? How much? We're in August. You do the show every year in August.
Right.
So give us on the calendar
about
where we're
the final 30 are due in the end of December.
Okay.
We send them out to the readers and give them the month of January to read the shows and return their scores to us. So usually it's mid-February when we know what the final 8 shows are going to be.
Mid-February, okay.
At that point, the first thing that happens is we contact the authors to make sure that the show is still available to us. Occasionally, between the time they submitted the show and the time we make the selection, somebody gets a production and they no longer want to participate in the festival because it's contractually belongs to someone else.
Okay.
And oftentimes, however, the producer will say, no, I'd rather you did it first because then we get to iron out the kinks. We can use your program to do that. But some producers don't want that. So we have to get the writer's permission to use the show. So that happens mid-February.
Okay.
And once we have all the writer agreements signed and returned to us, then it's a series of events that have to take place. We assign a director. We assign a music director. We give the writers deadlines for changes prior to our rehearsal process, which usually
they're not in residence at this point.
Most of them are not. Some may be.
Okay.
Whenever a local author is represented in the Stages Festival, it's because they went through this process and their shows, I'm very happy to say, ended up in the final 8 selections. It's because these readers across the country felt they were the best shows.
So the local people don't necessarily get a preference. They still have to go through the process.
No, they don't get a preference at all.
Okay, that's good.
It speaks volumes for the fact that we always have local shows in the festival. I'm very proud of that.
Yes,
and some of them are homegrown. Some of them come right out of our writer's workshop here at Theater Building Chicago, but others just are from other local authors.
Excellent. Okay, so now you've assigned a director, a musical director.
And a director.
Mm-hmm.
And we give a deadline to the authors who generally suddenly decide that they need to rewrite their show before an audience sees it. Or they've had a reading in some other city and they've learned something from that reading and they want to take what they've learned and put it to work before we go into rehearsal. Our rehearsals don't start until the 1st of July, so there is time between the announcement that the show has been chosen and the time rehearsals start for the authors to make changes, and we give them that opportunity. They can't change the size of the cast after mid-May because that's when we do our casting. So we line up the actors in the middle of May.
You do all the casting for them.
Yes.
Because this is where you're using local actors.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Yes. It's not that we never import an actor. Occasionally a show comes to us with an actor attached to it, and when that happens, we don't cast that role.
Okay.
But mostly, if we use between 80 and 100 actors every year, it would be unusual to import more than one or two of those actors.
So it's a great opportunity for the local actors.
Yes, and this year we've not imported any actors. Everything is local. All the actors are
Excellent.
Local.
That speaks volumes, too.
We have a terrific talent pool in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
No question about it.
Absolutely, I agree. That's why I get aggravated when I see shows come in to major theaters here, and they cast from around the country when they could easily cast it here.
Well, I'm happy to report, however, that an actor who was in our production of the Josephine Baker Show and has done Monday night readings for us, and he's also in the Stages Festival this year, but he was just cast in the national tour of Jersey Boys. So these Chicago actors...
Oh, who was that?
His name is Michael Ingersoll.
Oh, Michael, he did get it. Okay, because
yeah.
I had heard, I know Hetty had mentioned that he did get cast.
He was cast, yes.
Yeah.
And so he's
a major talent. Yes.
He's a major talent. He's off and running, and he's we were lucky to be able to use him when, because...
Well, he did Tick, Tick, Boom for Pegasus, right, too, that was...
Right, but we won't be able to afford him next year, I can promise you that.
Because you don't use Equity actors.
We do, and we have a wonderful arrangement with Equity that for our script-in-hand readings, we are able to use Equity actors, and we do. We are not able to use Equity actors in a rehearsed performance, not because Equity won't let us, just our budget doesn't afford that.
Okay, so let's keep back on track here. Now we've got the cast in place, mm-hmm, and we've got a musical director and we've got a director for the show.
Right.
And the rehearsals start around the 1st of July.
The rehearsals start around the 1st of July, and they're staggered. The first show that goes into rehearsal will be a show that's going to be memorized. So that needs more time. Mm-hmm. And our rehearsal schedule has to be spread out because we're rehearsing 8 shows and we only have so much space here. Mm-hmm. For instance, I'm directing a show that has a rehearsal tonight but isn't going to have another rehearsal until the 6th of August after tonight. It's the actors are going to have to go away and just do their homework in the meantime because other shows are using the spaces. So we won't. I won't see the actors again actually until the 8th of August because I'm going to be at another festival on the 6th. So the music director will deal with them on the 6th and I'll deal with them on the 8th.
At what point do the writers generally come in town to work hands-on?
The writers who are from distant places generally don't get here until just before the festival. So if anything, they see the final rehearsal, but they don't do any hands-on work. Because when they arrive, it's too late to make changes. Mm-hmm. They might make a suggestion about a tempo or about the treatment of a character so the director could give notes to the actors, but there's no time to make adjustments in the material. The local writers, on the other hand, probably are there at every rehearsal.
And I would think they would want to be.
And they're able to make adjustments. Since most of the work is script in hand, mm-hmm, they are able to make adjustments right up until perhaps the last week if they need to.
Wow, that sounds terrific. All right, let's go over some of the shows. Can you give us a little, you know, the name of them and who the writers are and a little bit of what they're about or the topic? Because I know you always pick a real variety of topics.
There's a tremendous variety, as always. The opening show this year, Friday night, is a review. The title is Half the Sky. This title comes from the concept that women hold up half the sky around the world.
And some would argue 80%.
Well, or more.
Or more.
But the topic of the review is the way women are viewed, appreciated, or unappreciated in different societies around the globe. So it's a global musical about the life of women and how it's different from one society to another. Very, very exciting piece. We did one short piece from this last year as a curtain raiser. It was a very dramatic and exciting...
Oh, I saw that. Yes, I remember that.
...musical scene about a Rwandan woman and who had suffered the pains of that awful event in Rwanda a few years ago. And we were so intrigued by that piece that we asked to see the rest of the review, and it's really quite exciting. It's a very, very exciting show about women and how women's lives are different from one society to another. So that is going to perform Friday night here at our gala opening on the 11th.
That's at 7:30.
At 7:30, and it will perform again on Saturday afternoon at 12:30.
Okay.
So there are two performances, as you said earlier, two performances of everything.
That's great because I would think if I was a producer coming in to see shows, I would want to see them a second time. Because, you know, sometimes the first time, for effect, the second time you're kind of really studying the show.
Well, if the show is really good, you have to see it more than once because the first time you just get caught up and enjoy it. And if you want to really analyze it, you have to come back. If the show isn't really good, maybe you can get that analysis done the first time around. I don't know. I always, of course, I read the shows, I watch the performances, and then I think about them and perhaps sometimes read them even after I've seen the show. So I have different attitudes depending on how much analysis I've been able to do.
Okay. Now let's see what the second show.
Okay, next.
And these are just an order, folks. They're not an order of priorities. It's
no. This is the order. This is the order in which they are appearing in the
that's
festival.
Fair.
Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Now, you have to really love musical theater to show up at Saturday morning on 9 o'clock ready to watch four shows. You can only see four shows on Saturday. We were performing eight, but you can only see four of them because we were using two theaters and they perform simultaneously. But 9 o'clock, you can see Sugar Dumpling by Cheryl Davis and Colby Sachs. This is a wonderful post or near the end of the Civil War romantic drama. Very interesting story about a Southern woman whose husband was killed in the war and a Northern soldier who's separated from his unit, their relationship, and how at the end they can't stay either with the North or the South, and they head west as a couple to begin a sort of new kind of unity. It's a very, very remarkable and dramatic musical. If you're into romance and into music, you're going to love this show. It's very challenging.
Old-time romantic musical.
Yes.
Great.
And it has a lot to say about political struggle and how it affects the individual. I recommend that. Also at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, a wonderful event from my point of view, because the author is Charles Strauss, the composer for Annie and Bye Bye Birdie and wonderful shows. But this is a new musical that Charles Strauss has written called Studio. He has written the book and the music and the lyrics, which is something he's not done before. And this is the second workshop that I know of. It had a workshop at the Trinity Rep in Providence some time ago. He's reworked it extensively, and even has a new title now. So this is yet another outing for this show and a chance for a Broadway veteran to come and see what he's written.
Is he going to be here?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes, yes.
Looking forward to meeting him.
He will definitely be here. So both of those shows perform at 9 o'clock
on titles are again,
Saturday. Sugar Dumpling is the Civil War drama, and Studio is the Charles Strauss musical. And if you can't see them on Saturday, you can see them again on a Sunday at 1 o'clock.
So if you go to the website, you can see the schedule. So if you want to see all eight, it works out. You can, right? You just have
If you want to see all eight, you have to come at Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and stay until Saturday night at 9 o'clock. And you have to come back Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and stay until Sunday night at 9 o'clock. We sometimes call that death by musical. you need to have a real thirst for musical theater.
I caught five last year.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. Yeah, I think five is very good. Many people do see all eight shows. All of the authors go to all the shows except the one that's playing opposite their show. The one exception there will be the authors of Half the Sky, since they don't perform on Sunday. So the show that's opposite them on Saturday, they can see on Sunday. So the authors of Half the Sky can actually see all eight shows.
Okay.
But the other authors, unless they want to give up a performance of their own show, can't see all
which
eight
I
shows.
Doubt.
It never happens.
No, you need that. You need that feedback, right?
That's very true. So going on, at 12:30 on Saturday.
That's Saturday, August 12th.
We are going to see Maine Traveled Roads. This is a new musical by local authors, the composer Paul Libman, the book writer and lyricist Dave Hudson. These two men won the Richard Rodgers Award last year for their musical. It's called Dust and Dreams, Celebrating Sandberg, but it was originally called Bringers when we did
Bringers,
it in our
right.
Stages Festival.
Right, I remember that.
And this is a particularly exciting show to me. It uses only four actors, but it tells many different stories. The actors play multiple roles, and the director is Rick Corley from the Madison Rep, and they're going to do the show in their new work series later in the season. So he's coming here to direct the reading in stages, and that'll give him a heads up for when he does it in his theater. So we're really very, very excited.
Yeah,
I
got to make sure I catch that because I got the feeling that one's well along.
It's brand new. It's never seen an audience before, but it's well along because these two guys are really at the top of their powers.
Yeah, I think
right
they're
now.
Excellent.
They're wonderful writers, and I have no doubt that this show is going to be very, very successful, both in the Stages Festival and in its afterlife. At the same time, you will be able to see the second performance of Half the Sky, which was the Friday night opening show, the review. Then going on at 3:30 Saturday afternoon, couple of really, really interesting shows. They're so different. The Cotton Club. This is a musical that was originally developed in the Academy for New Musical Theater in Los Angeles, where I also serve as the artistic director. And it was developed specifically at the request of one of the theaters that belongs to the National Alliance for Musical Theater, the South Bay, it's called the Civic Light Opera of South Bay Cities in the South Bay of Los Angeles. Subsequent to ordering this show to be written, they then changed their policy and they're no longer producing shows. They're a presenting organization now. So the show is looking for another partner, another theater company. It's a fictional story set in the Cotton Club in its heyday. A very, very musical theater, traditional book musical. If you like, the Rodgers and Hammerstein Irv, you're going to love The Cotton Club. This is a terrific...
The Fats Waller kind of influence of the
music?
Yeah,
the music has the period. Okay. It has the feeling of the period, but the composer is a young woman, and so it also has a very contemporary edge to it. But you'll recognize the ambiance of The Cotton Club. Okay. No question about that. But I'm very proud that it went through this selection process and got into this festival. Also at 3:30 on Saturday, this is the first for the Stages Festival. The Nervous Set is a show that did not work on Broadway back in the late 50s, but it was quite a success in St. Louis at the Crystal Palace. It ran for almost a year there before it went to Broadway and did not last. It's a show that produced a couple of standard songs. You may know Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most, and The Ballad of the Sad Young Men. Both of them are jazz classics and done all the time in cabarets.
I'm sure I know it when I hear it. Title doesn't do much for
you,
me.
You'll recognize these songs. But this show is having a sort of revisal. There's a new book. It's related to the original book, but it's been worked on by Tim and Lorraine Trainer from Washington, D.C., and we're really anxious to see how that new approach to the book works with this, what is essentially a terrific jazz score by Tommy Wolfe and Fran Lansman.
Well, kudos to Stages for doing that, because how many times have we seen shows where the musically was really good, but the book was then, and sometimes the lyrics are so bad, and you'd say if somebody would just go and, take the music and redo it.
Well, this is, again, early stages, because this is the first outing for this version of the book. So we're going to see how this works for an audience, and hopefully we're helping these authors rebuild this show and get it ready for a commercial production. So I'm this is the show that I'm lucky enough to direct, so I'm really excited to be involved in that process. Then finally, Saturday night at 7:30. Beach Wars, a musical comedy. This is an old-fashioned musical comedy. No question about it. This is about entertainment. This is you should come to laugh because you're
this
supposed to
have fun.
This is a fluff,
laugh, fun show, huh?
It's fluffy and fun, and it's enough of a romantic comedy to keep you interested. You sort of care, are they going to get together at the end?
Give us the title again.
The title is Beach Wars. It's about a real estate deal on a beachfront property on Lake Michigan that kind of goes sour. And it's written by local authors. Nan Hoffman, Laurel Haynes are the book and lyrics. They share the chore, book and lyrics, and the music by Howard Pfeiffer. All three of them are members of our writer's workshop. We're very proud of this show because, again, it's a homegrown show that made it through the system, and that has us singing their praises. So this is for fun. This is absolutely for fun. Come and enjoy this. Saturday at 7:30. You can also see it on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock if you're of a mind to. the last show Saturday, also at 7:30, is a very interesting show. Came to us from the National Alliance for Musical Theater. That's the trade association of about 140 or so theaters that regularly produce a season of musicals across the country. We belong to that organization for the last decade. This is a show written by an Englishman who lives in Germany, and it came to us directly from the National Alliance. Their selection committee reviewed 100 or 175 shows last year. They chose 8 for their festival in New York, which happens in the fall. But this show didn't quite make it, but they really, really liked it. Fortunately, I had seen it at the Village Theater Company in Issaquah, Washington, in their Festival of New Works, which precedes ours by 1 week. And so I knew the show when they brought it to us and said, would you help us develop this a little further? So we did a table reading in Los Angeles at the Academy for New Musical Theater, gave the author some dramaturgical input. He wrote a new draft of the show, which we presented here in a Monday night musical in April. He got further dramaturgical input from myself and the director from Issaquah, who's going to do the final production. He's written yet a new draft, which we're presenting in stages, and this is fully rehearsed off book. This is our studio presentation in stages. And he'll be here. He's coming from London, actually. He's in London at the moment. He's coming here to see this production and meet with the director from Issaquah. Then in December, they're going to do a developmental production at their theater, which will have sets and costumes, which we are not adding to the mix now.
And this, say the title.
And this is called Fairy Stories.
Fairy Stories.
So you can see this at 7:30 Saturday. You can also see this at 9 o'clock on Sunday. And for those of you who have families, this is the quintessential family musical. It's a lovely, romantic musical about a motherless boy and a fatherless girl. And, of course, mom and dad sort of meet each other in the course of events. And it's based on a true story. You may have seen the movie about the two little girls in Cottingley who took photographs of the fairies and Arthur Conan Doyle
said
they were real. Well, instead of two little girls, it's a little boy and a little girl. And the boy and girl can't stand each other, and they're living next door to each other, and they concoct this event, these photographs, as a way of driving their parents apart because they see that the parents are becoming friendly, and they think, oh no, what an awful thing if we had to actually be brother and sister.
So this is a real family show.
It's a great family show, and for that reason, in addition to the two performances and stages, it's going to run here for two more weekends following stages. It's a great back-to-school experience. If you're out shopping for back-to-school clothes or notebooks and pencils, come to Theater Building and see Fairy Stories with your kids. It's a terrific family show.
Tell us what you're charging now and a little commercial for.
The individual shows and stages are $15, okay. And the stages pass, if you want to see all 8 shows, is $85. It's a great deal because otherwise it'd be $120 to see all 8 shows at the single ticket price. So that's a terrific advantage.
It is.
And there's also on Sunday a brunch in our lobby ahead of the Producers Forum. This is a special event we do every year at Stages on Sunday. We have a panel discussion that relates to musical theater. This year, the panelists are all producers of musicals, both local producers and producers from around
the
country.
That's Sunday at what time?
Sunday, the brunch is at 11:15, and the Producers Forum is at 11:45.
11:45.
And actually, 11:15 or whenever the 9 o'clock show lets out, so some people will get an early start on brunch. But you can come just to the brunch of the Producers Forum, and the fee for the brunch, I believe, is $20. Yes, $20 for the brunch.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's quite an event. This is a real festival.
We pack it with stuff, but it's for musical theater lovers, and it's also for musical theater haters. If you think you don't like musicals, you should come. You should see one or two. I think we might be able to change your mind.
Well, last year was my first year of coming to Stages, and I was very impressed. I mean, you do see a terrific variety, and you see plays that you just know are going to make it.
Well, no individual is going to like everything. That's why they make different colored jelly beans. So I can promise you that there is something wonderful about every one of these eight shows. So whether it's to your taste or not, you won't be bored.
So it's not only for the public and for musical comedy lovers, but do you suggest that artistic directors and producers?
Oh, absolutely. This is a great shopping place.
Yeah.
If you're looking for musicals that might suit your program, whether it's a commercial program, a subscription theater, a nonprofit theater, a community theater, a university program, anybody that's looking to do something new, anybody that doesn't want to do off-the-shelf musicals should come to this festival. It's a great way to go shopping for the show that would be right for
you. Well, I'll tell you what else I would do. I don't review these shows because obviously they're not at a point where they should be reviewed, but I have given not only in email and some in writing and verbally, I have talked to a lot of the authors too.
Well, that is absolutely part and parcel of the festival. Every actor, every director, and every music director gets a lengthy questionnaire and gives feedback to the authors after the fact. After having worked on these shows for a number of weeks and rehearsed them, they then give the authors feedback. And then every member of the audience is solicited to give feedback, and there's a feedback form.
That's
in every
right.
Program.
I remember filling out those. Yeah, and people were very good about filling those out.
Indeed, they are.
Yeah.
Indeed, they are. And that is very useful because the feedback stimulates the author. Even if the author doesn't agree with you, what happens is that if the comments cluster around a particular event or turn of the plot, that's when the authors know there's something wrong there. They don't have to agree with the comment. All they have to do is treat it as a diagnosis and say, treat it as a diagnosis of something wrong rather than a prescription for how to fix it. It is a diagnosis, not a prescription. And the authors usually find some very, very valuable feedback.
I can see you're excited about this program.
I'm very excited about it because this is the place. It's so wonderful to be able to work at Theater Building Chicago on new musicals. This is the place where everybody concerned, the actors, the directors, the music directors, and the authors, can worry about whether it's any good or not. When you get to a commercial theater, you can't worry about that anymore because you have to worry about, is anybody going to buy a ticket? Are we going to make any money? What's the marketing going to do? What's the word of mouth going to do? It can't be about the art only anymore because there are too many other considerations. But here, you can worry only about, is it any good?
One of the things I was impressed most about is how much the actors got into it and the musicians. I mean, they were really working hard at it, and they were, you know, they were into their character. And
well, the actors take this work very seriously. First, it's an opportunity for them because normally they're cast in shows that are off the shelf, where there's a model. They already know how this song is supposed to sound. They already know how this character is supposed to behave because it's been performed 1,000 times. So these shows, there's no model, so they're creating something, and they really feel a partner with the authors in creating the experience for the audience. It's exciting for the actors to do this. And you will, if you come to multiple stages, you will see we use some of the same actors again and again and again because they love doing this. And we also use new faces every year because it's part of our mission to provide entry-level opportunities for emerging artists in the theater in Chicago. That's what Theater Building Chicago is here for.
Well, I can't wait to see the Stages Festival. It is, the commercial for it is what? It's August 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Theater Building, which is at
1225 Belmont Avenue at Racine.
Okay, and what phone number can they call to get tickets?
Box office, 773-327-5252. 773-327-5252. If you can't remember the numbers, it's far... La la,
far la la.
Yeah, we couldn't fa la la wasn't enough numbers, so it had to be far la la.
Far la la. Well, John Sparks, thank you once again, and I'm looking forward to this. And folks, August is the dull time in theater, and you can get your dose of musical theater and see some interesting shows. So I recommend it. I know I'm going to try and catch as many as I can this year. John, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And folks, We'll talk to you next time. And remember, go see a play this week. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to this edifying episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast, brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. But before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote has to deal with history, and it comes from Shakespeare's Sonnets, number 106. The Chronicle of Wasted Time. Well, we can't thank you enough for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.